you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.fun.
I'm Alex Robinson from AlexRobinson.fun.
Oh.
I'm Greg Wyszynski. I'm fun. I'm also the co-host of the Puck Soup podcast that covers hockey and pop culture, and you can get bonus materials on the Puck Soup Patreon if you like the show and want more of it.
It's true. We should do that, Pete.
What? Have a Patreon?
Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll talk about it.
Oh, yeah. That's a real good idea. Because I don't think you guys produce enough content.
We've been told that. You know, people are just like, I hate waiting around for a new episode. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, here's our new episode. How about that? Today we're talking about minute 112 of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. It starts with Captain Phasma saying, "On my command," and it ends kind of in media holdo, where the holdo maneuver is happening. People are storming out, demanding a refund because the audio cut out at the end of this. but yeah, let's start at the beginning. We got the execution did not happen quite yet. We're getting ready. It's like, well, you know, right again, talking about kind of old school cable, the stuff that I did watch at my grandparents' house. I did kind of want either Finn or Rose to be like, wait a minute, stop the execution. Phasma, like, that's one sneaky kid.
And they're like, can we get an orange? And Phasma's like, no, you can't even get a slice. And then she gets chopped in half, the shooting gallery thing.
Right, there you go. Because that's the word. Slice is the equivalent of fire.
Slice is fire. Yes. Yeah, it's now. Do you think when I was watching the scene, I was thinking back to the old Lethal Weapon bit of the is it three and then go, or is it on three? Because I'm just waiting for, like, what is the signal to actually, like, perform the execution here? Is there a countdown? Is it just one of them decides to do it and the other one does it too? I mean, I couldn't quite grasp as to what we were waiting for.
He's like, 1, 2, 3, slice.
Or is it slice on three? Who's to say?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see that where they do, like, one of them accidentally goes on three, and then there's that minute of Phasma being like, whoa, okay, what did you do there? And, like, you know, Rose is sitting there in horror because the other, like, Finn's head just got cut off, but they're having a whole conversation about, like, no, it's 1, 2, 3, and then slice. You don't slice on three. Like, sorry, I just got to sign this morning, you know.
And they're like, what's your problem? You said you wanted them to feel pain. And Phasma's like, I didn't mean emotional pain. I meant, like, physical pain. This is horrible. Look what you've done to this poor girl.
So they have two executioners there? I didn't notice. if it's the kind of thing where they just at like, all right, we need 7 on deck. Come on, let's go. And then, you know, however many executioners they need, rather than just one guy doing both.
Right. Well, they had the 2 people lock and load their slicers.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I assume it's 1 per neck.
Yeah.
So, you know, got multiple ones there. You never see that in the old days in the, you know, in the medieval times, it was always one guy in a dark hood with the, you know, guillotine or the noose.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be like multiple ones.
So I also feel
labor
like
costs, I guess.
I also feel like if I'm Phasma, I want to, Rose is a resistance. Who cares? Like, just kill her and get it over with. But Finn is the one you want to make an example of because you don't want any of these other stormtroopers thinking that they can run off and have fun with their new friends.
Yeah, why do they care about Rose?
Yeah, so it almost seems like Rose they should have just shot, but then Finn they should have, like, you know, like crucified or something rather than cutting both of their heads off or whatever. You know?
Just like, so Rose they shoot, but then Finn gets disemboweled to just like show the rest of the possible deserters not to desert.
Yeah, hey, you
I like
run
it.
A tight ship.
I think that works for me.
Yeah,
but why didn't Phasma do it herself? Was the question too? Like, she's the one with beef. Like, she had no problem trying to like stab him with the pointy thing in a few minutes, but like, I don't know, it just seems kind of dumb that you'd want to do the slicing yourself, wouldn't you?
Probably.
Maybe it's like a privilege, like, oh, hey, guess what? These are our two employees of the month. They get to do the killing now. You know what I mean? Like, because they're being honored with being allowed to be the executioner. She would love to do them all, of course, but she feels like other people should also be allowed to.
So instead of getting your name on the plaque like I got at Burger King, you get to murder a traitor.
Did you really get your name on a plaque at Burger King?
I worked at Burger King when I was a senior in high school. It was like a senior job. Then it was my summer job before college. And I very much did. And I did a great job there because I was able to sort of funnel my career in a certain direction, whereas I had a car, so obviously I closed the restaurant at night. So there was a lot of mopping, and also they found that I was not good at making food, so they put me on the drive-through register, which is really where I feel like I belonged. Customer service is my passion.
It's kind of an early taste of broadcasting too.
You know, absolutely, for sure. It's great. Yeah, so I early taste of broadcasting and also an early taste of taking the food at the end of the night and putting bacon on it and then eating it until 3 a.m. while playing Nintendo, which was probably not healthy. But I had my name on the plaque.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thanks. Wow. I mean, outside of my parents, that's the first I've heard of that.
Pete, have you ever gotten any kind of recognition for your career? Like, From a boss who's like, you know, you're retailer of the year.
No, other than promotions, which were always seemingly more kind of term based than merit based. It's just like, well, you've been here the next longest, so why don't you do that? You know,
right?
It was never just like, you know what, you're a regular go getter. Why don't you take on this project? So no, it's
real.
Retail is
an unwieldy and impersonal business sometimes. What about you, Alex? Did you ever get lauded for your efforts in anything?
Not from like a boss, not from like someone who was my
from me.
Who was
you did.
Yeah. Oh,
I was employee of the month 36 months in a row here at the cartooning studio I run. It's incredible.
I think that you two should create a plaque that you just trade back and forth on the Star Wars Minute for Star Wars Minute Employee of the Month.
Oh, that's interesting that you think it would trade back and forth. I'm not going to say who would actually have it most of the time, but we'll get back to.
Well,
Star
I mean,
Wars
you here. Obviously need some sort of like a independent arbiter of who deserves the honor.
Yeah,
right. But even then, it would be like, oh, sorry, I meant to mail the plaque back to you. I got 5 other things. I'll put it in tomorrow, and then you know.
Fantastic.
You would end up spending months in one place before.
When your employee of the month award becomes a holiday fruitcake between friends.
Maybe that's how Phasma wound up with two executioners, because she couldn't pick between employee of the month. So she's like, yeah, you're both employees of the month.
Good point.
And that's why Rose is getting executed here, because it's like, we don't know who she is. We don't care. But we got two executioners locked and loaded here, so might as well use them.
So Lieutenant Connix, was that her? Is she Corporal? Corporal Connix?
Cadel Co-Connix. Lieutenant?
Corporal Co-Connix sees Admiral Holdo getting into the thing, or like steering the ship, and she's all like, she's running away. Connix is so judgmental about, like, here they are in this desperate situation, and she's all sneering because Holdo is moving the car around.
Yeah, and then luckily we have Poe exposition to explain that may not be the case. This character gives us more exposition in these movies. I mean, later on in this movie, a lot of
exposition.
It's a lot. But luckily, he's there to tell us what's really going on in the streets.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I have to say, I just looking up whether or not she was a lieutenant. I was like, yeah, Cadel Co-Connix. What's that? I was expecting Wikipedia to come up first, and it did. But then one of the other things that came up was a fan site, which is called Hooked on Connix. And so I just had to give them a shout out because that's amazing.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. But yes, she was a lieutenant, and in this, she is kind of like, I don't know, it seemed to me like she doesn't know that the game has changed, and like Poe has moved on. Poe's like, you know, he's got the new info, he had a kind of a reckoning, a realization, and like Cadel Co-Connix is still just kind of like, hey, look, she's running away, like, you know, like she's still like on board with like the, you know, the team that's kind of ragging on her. And I don't know if it's like a, I don't know. I'm trying to, I feel like that emotion is, I can tie that to something from, you know, there are people who are just still like, you know, they still think it's cool to rag on somebody, but it's like, no, man, hey, like it's not cool anymore.
Like read the room, Connix. Exactly. We're past that part now.
Yeah. So,
As Connix, who was just literally, participated in a mutiny. Is in a position to judge other people's strategies.
Right. Yeah. But she's like, no, she's not running away. She's staging a one-man mutiny.
Or woman.
Right. Woman mutiny. That's true. Sorry.
Yeah.
So this is strategically, here's a question. Why didn't they do this plan 10 hours ago? Why didn't, when they had the shuttles and they had a huge fleet all with them, why didn't they then do that, then do the whole dome maneuver? That way they'd still have, what were they waiting, what did they think was going to happen that they're like, well, I guess now we got to do the whole dome maneuver? Or had it not even, or is this just a thing that occurred, like, oh, wait a minute, we could totally ram the ship?
Well, that's the thing that we're trying to figure out, right, is whether this was the first time it was ever conceived.
Right.
In a moment.
Yeah.
And I mean,
should we call the Anakin maneuver because Anakin did it in an episode of the Clone Wars?
And, well, yeah. It's just like, I feel like it's, you know, the old line is like, greatness borrows and genius steals. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Holdo had to grab this from somebody at some point, and maybe it worked and maybe it didn't. But it certainly doesn't feel like it's a go-to move. It doesn't seem like it's a, well, if all else fails, we'll just
ram
jump to light speed through all of our enemies. Like, it doesn't seem like it's really an option on the table. So I think we are meant to believe that it's her kind of like improvising.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. PD seems to be the only one who figures it out, because Hux is like, oh, like, first he doesn't seem to kind of understand, but PV's only like, oh no!
Yeah.
She's gonna run the bloody ship! You know, like.
I love that. It was great, because, like, Hux kind of, like, ducks out his neck, and he's just, like, looking at it, and then the other dude just steps up, and he's like, what? And, that was great.
Yeah, again, going back to it, like, it is a bit of a Young Ones vibe there. Like, he should have, like, oh, no, and then, like, disappeared in a puff of smoke or something, like, you know, like...
jumped out the window.
Exactly. But, yeah, it is a, like, then Hux does get it, and he's like, you know, again, to, like, fire on that cruiser, like, his over-the-topness, which I didn't appreciate fully in the Force Awakens, is definitely appreciated here. I'm pro Hux. Yeah.
Never understood that about you. Hux has been the same in all these movies, and he's always the best.
He is. I just didn't get it the first time around. I didn't know what to think, and now I like it. Even I like his.
If memory serves, you didn't get it because you thought he should be more of a big bad, and he's like more of a kind of a snivelly guy.
I just wasn't, it was definitely over the top in Force Awakens, but I didn't know that it was supposed to be that, how it was supposed to be taken.
This this movie was definitely more over the top and like letting you know that he's over the top, as opposed to the other one where you're just I couldn't tell whether it was bad acting or whether it was, you know, we all come around, we all love Hux.
You didn't realize that he was supposed to be like Tucker Carlson in space. Just
no, I did not.
Exaggerated guy you hate.
Yeah. Yes, but the Holdo maneuver is very controversial.
Sure.
Because for precisely the reasons you said, Greg, about like, is this now going to be a standard thing? Is everyone like, hey, let's always have a little ship nearby that we can ram someone with? Because it does seem like it would be a very... hand, you know, it's like a kamikaze bomb or something like that.
So there's two things on that. One of the big problems that people had with the Holdo maneuver was the idea that it changes how we should feel about light speed travel, in the sense that there are now ramifications that you can run into things when you're traveling at the speed of light. And granted, in you know, previous episodes, we had Han Solo himself saying, hey, you know, you got to make the calculations right, or else you're going to jump yourself in the middle of a star or whatever. And so we understand that there are dangers to it, but maybe not necessarily from a traveling through obstacles sense. And so that there was a thought that maybe that changed how we should think about light speed. And my answer to that was always that, like, I assumed that it worked this time because it's kind of like you're on the on ramp. You know, to the light speed, right? Like you're just getting going, and maybe you don't hit it like straight away. You just go really fast, then go to light speed. So yeah, she's in the part where like the stars are coming at you, you know, that kind of shit.
Right.
And I just
she's not in the blue
that...
tube with the
right. She's not in the blue tube.
She's not on blue tube.
Right. She's not on the blue tube. That's right. Which could either be a joke on YouTube or Blue Chew, since we're on a podcast. Can go either way. So I never really had a problem with it because I felt like it was logical and from what we can infer about light speed. Now, it was explained away subsequently that this was a one in a million thing that happened and couldn't be repeated, although you'd figure people would just want to just try to keep repeating it to see if it could work in dire situations. But ultimately, my feelings on the Holdo maneuver harken back to something The great Ham Salad said in the movie Hardware Wars, which is, relax, kid, it's only a movie. That's kind of how I feel about people who complain about the Holdo maneuver, because my God, it was one of the single greatest things I've ever seen in a theater. And it was amazing. It was cool. And like, it's so cool. It was incredible. It is cool.
And it was.
I remember watching it and feeling that it was kind of like, it was almost that feeling of seeing an anime come to life. You know, it's something that it's so like dramatic and over the top visually, and from an audio standpoint, like a bold choice to just create the vacuum of space
under
that. It kind of reminded me of something that you might see in an anime versus something that you'd see in a live action film, just because it is so diametrically opposed to what we usually see in a big blockbuster action scene moment. So I loved it.
Yeah, usually they want to show off the deep subwoofer and have it, you know, feel like the whole place is rattling with the bass. But this one, they did almost the complete opposite of it, where you're shocked by the lack of any.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get that at the end of like the rumbly explosion I appreciate all of the concerns that people have canonically with the Holdo maneuver, but I also don't care because it was worth it.
Right. Do the cool stuff and then let the people who write the books and comics sort out the details of how and why.
Which is how Star Wars should be.
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Alex disagrees.
Well, I think you can take that to... I agree with that up to a point, but I do think you can take it too far and not explain things that would be distracting if they weren't explained.
Remind me, am I allowed to reference something in a future film? Sure. Just briefly?
Yeah.
Like Exegol was that for me, in the sense of like Exegol was that thing in Star Wars that I love about Star Wars, which is that it's such an absurd concept that we can all take it ourselves and talk about who lives there. What do they do all day? Why would anybody sign up for this?
What do they eat?
You know, that's right. That's the sort of beauty of Star Wars fandom, is you take these absurd ideas and then try to flesh them out. But at the same time, it's also like, why does this exist? Who lives there? How did this work?
What do they do all day?
It's the greatest example, I think, of those two competing ideas of like, you either are in for the goofy over-explanation of Star Wars things, or you're repelled by how half-baked the idea is. You either want to fill in the blanks, or you're just like, I'll leave this one blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a question.
Yes.
So based on this, based on this maneuver happening, and I guess this kind of goes, it doesn't have to be a question for today. It could be for later, but seeing this happen, Poe seeing this happen and kind of understanding what's going on, does he think that Finn and Rose are still alive at this point in BB-8? Like, does he think that they were, when they were captured, does he think that they were just immediately executed? Was that like, because remember they were like live streaming, breaking in, and then he was like, oh no, they got caught. They didn't make it. Does he think that those guys are all dead at this point?
No.
Beforehand. And then after he sees the Holdo maneuver, does he think, oh, now they're dead?
No. No. He's an eternal optimist. You know, think about like in a few scenes when he's rallying everybody to the cause and like that. I mean, he seems like a guy who really is in his heart believes that it's all going to work out. So I feel like he watches that scene. He's like, oh, I'm sure they got off the ship before the Holdo maneuver happened.
All right.
I feel like I've seen, isn't there a, I feel like there's a go-to gag that I can't get to, but it's almost like the Simpsons thing where it's like, it's still good. It's like, they're still alive. They're still like, after he heard them getting caught on the thing, he's like, no, they're still alive. They're still alive. Then the thing blows up. He's like, they're still alive. They're still... It's like things keep happening that they're less and less likely to still be alive.
Right.
I feel like that must have happened in some other thing where someone's like,
I think it was a Simpsons thing.
Yeah. I think it was Simpsons movie, right? Where it was with the, chasing a pig or something that he was going to eat. I don't remember.
Well, I thought that was the, I think the thing I was talking about was the one where he has the barbecue.
I don't know.
Pig gets thrown, gets ejected, and gets winds up in the river. No, the movie was different. The movie was
no. It was very much like this is going to be okay, and then it became escalating things of it not being okay.
Right. He had a pet pig in the movie. That must be
Simpsons did it first, as per usual, with everything in life.
Well, I thought for a second just now, I was like, oh, maybe he knows that they're okay because he has an ESP psychic link with BB-8, just like Vincent and Dr. Kate from Black Hole.
Because of the Force, because he's strong with the Force.
Well, that too. Yeah, the Force.
Yeah.
She had ESP with a robot.
Yeah.
They should have shown Finn and Rose swimming through the, flying through the air to get back to the ship like they.
Oh, right. With BB-8 in tow. But we'll get there.
So in the next movie, it's revealed that this was a 1 in a million shot to work.
1 in a million.
Mm-hmm. So if it had not worked, would it mean that she just escaped, basically?
Yeah.
That seems like it'd be kind of a, like, it seems like that might have been maybe send out a bunch of empty shuttles and then they'll go after the shuttles while you go to, but then, like, I guess they can still follow them. I guess that they have the thread.
They probably would have tracked it either way.
Yeah.
Although I do love the idea of that not work. She misses. And then, like, cut that. That's you know, in modern movie language, then you would have, you know, the she would kind of miss. They would duck out of the way, whatever. And then, you know, the rest of the movie unfolds in more or less the same way. And then the kind of post credit sting is a mysterious, you know, tall lady on a different planet with suddenly different colored hair, trying to being like, oh yes, I'm Halgo, like, I think you have a reservation for me. She's just trying to, you know, like, blend in, start a new identity somewhere else.
I like the idea of the stinger being that they cut to her having a Mai Tai on the casino planet.
There you go.
Being like, glad that's over.
Sharing drinks with Palpatine. Like, oh, it was all part of his plan all along.
Oh.
Yes, and also in our world, of course, there was a brief spate of movie theaters having to post a sign at the theater saying, "Don't worry, you idiots. This is an intentional choice. This was supposed to happen." Like, it only lasts for like 4 seconds or something. Did people in that time really go, "What?" and then get up and go to the mat? They like.
In watching the clip today, too, I feel like there was also this sort of rumbling that happens in the background a little bit. Like, it's not the complete absence of sound. There's a little bit of sound there. But the thing, I feel like that's a real post-Sopranos finale reaction to customers being upset. Like, you've got to hold their hand so they don't call AMC corporate. And they're like, the movie broke. And they're telling me the movie didn't break, but the movie definitely broke because there was no sound in the movie. And like that, I feel like now that just because of the Sopranos thing and the HBO getting inundated with people like being like, yo, I was watching the end of Sopranos and I just went to black. Can I get my money back for the month? Or
we should do a little fan edit of it's, you know, the end of the Sopranos and there's trying to parallel park and all that. And so it cuts to black, but instead of total black, it just cuts to the Holdo maneuver.
The supremacy being blown up.
Right. So that's how much Meadow was parallel parking, that she just went right boom through a giant first order ship.
It was a 1 in a
million
shot.
Now the rest of the day is going to be in my head just doing Gandolfini going, it's the Holdo maneuver. It's the Holdo maneuver.
Let's all have for 112.
Noted this continues until tomorrow, but we should note for today and for tomorrow, note that how much of what's going on in the destruction seems to be debris. And so it's not just like a clean, like she flew her ship through the other ship and cut it, you know, nice and clean, but like it basically just kind of her ship hits the thing and disintegrates and all those pieces of rubble are going at near light speed and just busting through other ships. So,
other parts. Am I wrong? Isn't there a little Finn, Rey and Kylo in this minute too? Am I wrong on that?
Oh, yeah, I think this is where the actual, right before the the maneuver, this is where the saber actually breaks, where they're they're really like,
and I wanted to just point out, because I made a note on that, that the thing I liked about this scene was that, you know, they're doing their we're trying to win the force battle thing, and like Kylo like has this guttural grunt as he's like struggling to grab the lightsaber, and then Rey does it too, and the only time I'm just thinking of like, did she feel the need to do it because he grunted? Like I'm trying just as hard as you are.
Maybe she was making fun of him. He's like, ah, she's like, ugh.
That's you.
See,
that's you.
That would have been awesome. Yeah. That would have been fantastic.
I'm Kylo Ren.
Oh, man. Yeah, we needed that thing that, you know, it's three fellows talking here, so you know what I'm talking about. But we need that thing when your lady, when you do something dumb and manly and your lady's just like, ugh. You know, we needed that look and that noise in that moment.
Totally.
Yeah. I wonder if they had kept, you know, if just as Rian Johnson was just like, you know, guys, just keep going bigger and bigger and bigger each time just to see, you know, we won't use all of them. But then, you know, until the end, they're like, ah, you know, really, like, really like going crazy. Like,
so does the lightsaber explode in this minute, too?
It does. Right before the maneuver, it shatters. I don't think we see the aftermath of that, but it kind of like we see
how
it
do we feel,
kind of bust up.
How do we feel about it exploding? I always kind of felt like it would just be like if when you break a flashlight in half, it just kind of like falls into two pieces.
Wait, your flashlights don't explode?
Obviously, you have much fancier flashlights.
Only the ones that take D batteries explode. Right. The larger Mulder and Scully flashlights explode.
I said it yesterday. Not a fan of this development. I'm not a fan of it breaking, not a fan of them fighting over it, not a fan of it exploding. I think it's I mean, I know there is a lot of force stuff going on besides, you know, besides what we see, what we're physically, you know, what we're seeing that's visually represented. There's also a lot of force struggle that I'm you know, I get it.
Yeah.
But again, it's a little too Harry Potter kind of magic wizard stuff for me.
I am all in favor of them dueling over it. I'm in favor of it exploding. I am not in favor of it being, now it's back together. You know, without
Luckily, that's not this movie. So.
Yeah, I know.
Again, that's because of, you know, retcon.
So this is like it's going to be like a Rocky IV style training montage of the next, you know, year and a half, 2 years of me getting all my defenses of Rise of Skywalker ready. It's going to be the best.
He's the best.
It's like Pete pumping iron in front of a poster of Palpatine.
Right, yeah.
Hearts on fire.
Good.
Dragging. It's instead of a sled through through Russia, the Russian snow. You're dragging the skiff that they fly on the desert planet behind you. Yeah.
Can't wait, but we'll have to wait.
We'll have to.
We will even have to wait until tomorrow to keep talking about this. Greg, can you come back tomorrow for another?
I could definitely come back tomorrow. We gotta gotta see what happens now that we've had this Holdo maneuver going through the ship.
It's chaos, I think. But we'll find out. If you listeners, we joked about it. We do have a Patreon. Look at that. Go to StarWarsNet.com/Patreon.
Get out of here.
And
that was quick.
You can hear us every day, not just Monday through Friday. You'll have Saturday stuff. You'll have Sunday stuff. It'll
talk about hockey.
Sometimes
usually
talk about
Sunday
hockey,
show.
And Alex makes kind of like vague understanding faces.
I go, to
right. This is you. check it out at StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon and check us out tomorrow on a brand new Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.